Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Luis Sanacori Ramos, Taino, aka Taino Sagrado. I'm so happy to be on the air once again, live from Corozal, Puerto Rico, aka Borinquen. Alright, Guasabara Radio, as you know, it's all about war, but it's a non-violent war. Our weapons is knowledge. Our weapons is spirituality. Our weapons is unity, okay? And how do we get unity? Through knowledge, through information, through our traditions. My co-hostess, Crystal Kiami Hinaru Santiago, is somewhere in cyberspace talking to our guests. She will be with us momentarily, in and out. We have some guests that wanted to call in and stuff tonight, so it's very important that we include people in this discussion later on in the show. If you want to call in, please, 516-387-1473. That's 516-387-1473. I'll keep repeating that number throughout the show. Para toda la gente en Puerto Rico, en Cuba, Santo Domingo, muchas gracias por escuchar, ¿no? En España también, porque tenemos gente de España que está escuchando este show. Muy bien. This is Guasábara. La palabra taíno que dice guerra. Pues esta guerra no es violencia, es paz. Pero también estamos en una lucha para luchar por la cultura indígena, especialmente en el Caribe o taíno. Y también Norteamérica, Sudamérica, somos indígenas. Y cualquier parte del mundo, como África, Australia, todos somos indígenas, ¿no? So es muy importante que en este radio estamos luchando por la cultura. Y hoy tenemos en el show una persona muy buena. Y muy orgulloso para tenerlo en el show hoy. I'm very honored to have our guest today. And our topic today, it's all about, check this out. It's about Caribbean spirituality, part one, parte número uno. Now, I'm live here in Corozal, and think about Puerto Rico, it's always active with music, with dance, con baile, and I love it. So if you hear some feedback behind me, that's what it is. It's called fiesta. So I'm going to introduce now our next guest. He is a mortero and a spiritualist, and he hails from the beautiful island of Cuba. Presently, he lives in New York, and his name is Yamil Enriquez. Are you on the air?
Hello, yes.
Ah, wonderful, man. Muchas gracias. Thank you for being here with us today in Guasabara Indigenous Radio, okay? How you doing?
Muchas bendiciones, muchas bendiciones for you and for Kiama and for the audience as it's tuning in and listening. Muchas paz y bendiciones para todo el mundo que está ahí presente en vivo. I'm doing very good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Qué bueno, qué bueno. You know, before I ask you the questions, before, you know, I give you the floor, I just want to mention that, you know, my great-grandmother, God bless her, you know, she raised me from when I was newborn all the way up to 11 years old, and she was a very good woman. She raised me. She taught me a lot of values. And what a lot of people don't understand is that her spirituality was very, very, very strong in the Spiritismo tradition.
Yes,
and
that's
that
what
my first
one of the practices that I do as well, very strong upbringing.
Right, so this is like a beautiful situation for me here listening to you today, because it's going to bring back a lot of good memories. She honored el Indio a lot, and also Chango.
Yes.
So I was raised on el Indio spirits, and I was raised with Chango, so that's why I think I'm somewhat of a warrior, you know. I'm always kind of feisty, you know, on the front lines because of that influence. So this, you know, it's my tradition, you know, and like a lot of Caribbean folk on our islands, a lot, their introduction to the spirit world is definitely connected to a lot of these traditions, como Espiritismo, or Santería, or so on. But the hit. Now, here's the catch. Ready for this, Yamil? And then we'll give you the floor, okay?
No problem, darling.
The thing is, in my experience, in my studies, in my experience in the Caribbean, After 1492, algo pasó. Many of these indigenous traditions were suppressed by the Spanish, you know, and a lot of the traditions were lost. But somehow, by a miracle, the traditions survived. Not all, but I believe the worldview, how we look at the world, through these spiritual lenses. Wow, there's a lot of music in the background. here we go. So here's the thing. In the Caribbean, since 1492, somehow the indigenous worldview survived, not just so through traditions, but how we recreated, right? How we recreated the spirituality through different forms, you know. In other words, in my studies, in my experience, there was an evolution that took place. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the indigenous community sometimes they argue or they fight about Santeria or Espiritismo. Even Christians, I know Christians have an issue with this, and I think it's an official doctrine for many churches that religions like Espiritismo or Santeria is against the church teachings, you know, against their spirituality, which is sad, you know. But that's for another show. But check this out. I'm dying to hear what's going on. I have some questions for you. But I just want you once again to introduce yourself to our viewers who are listening live and our future listeners who are downloading this show.
No problem. So, paz y bendiciones para todo el mundo, luz y progreso. My name is Jorge Muestero, Yamil Enriquez. I'm a practitioner of, yo soy muertero, and soy espiritista. I'm also a practitioner of an Afro-Cuban tradition called Palo Congo or Mayombe. But mainly what I do mostly is espiritismo and muerterismo, which is something that is very, is a spiritual tradition which is very common within the Caribbean islands of Cuba, Puerto Rico, and even certain countries in Latin America as well. I've been practicing this tradition since I was exposed to it since I was born, but started practicing it when I was 7 years old. My grandmother was an espiritista. My family were all practitioners of espiritismo criollo, el cordón espiritual, more.
Pero un momentito. Pero un momentito, can you explain to the listeners what is espiritismo criollo?
Okay, so espiritismo criollo, and this is one of the reasons why I'm very excited to be in the show, is because espiritismo criollo, or what is practiced of a form of espiritismo is basically the contact between us and spirits, okay? And that first started in France it started with the American spiritualist movement, and then it went to France to a man named Allan Kardec. Allan Kardec organized the espiritismo, or what the Cubans call espiritismo científico, which is the more study base, literature and stuff like that, you know. And then when espiritismo, the islands of Puerto Rico, which, by the way, a lot of people might not know this, but before espiritismo went to Cuba, it actually started in Puerto Rico. A lot of people might know that, but there is, in the Caribbean, it came from Puerto Rico first. And then it started moving into the other islands of the Caribbean and in Latin America as well. Espiritismo criollo is basically saying espiritismo that is practiced by the people that are in the islands of Cuba and Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and so on. And it's our version, our style of practicing spiritualism, that it's kind of unorthodox to orthodox spiritism. If an orthodox spiritist was how we practice things, they would not agree with us. But it's our form, because into that was incorporated African traditions, native traditions, and I want to get into that, because the native influence in espiritismo criollo was very important, especially in Cuba and other cultures.
That's beautiful.
Wow. And wow. Before I wanted to start to get into any further, I would like to just give like a little quick prayer before we start.
Okay.
You know, we clear the space and everybody's feeling good and all the listeners are feeling good as well. You understand? Is that okay?
Very good. No, that's perfect. Right. Thank you.
All right. Con la bendición del Creador, con la bendición de nuestros ancestros, con la bendición de la naturaleza, de la madre naturaleza y todos los espíritus que residen dentro de la naturaleza, con la bendición de los cuatro elementos, los cuatro puntos cardinales, con la bendición del fuego, el agua, el aire y la tierra, con la bendición de los cuatro costados, norte, sur, este y oeste, arriba para abajo, y la séptima dirección que somos nosotros, que somos los que estamos aquí en este mundo para cuidar la naturaleza y cuidarnos unos a otros. Con la bendición de todos los espíritus que gobiernan las ciudades en donde nosotros vivimos, en los lugares donde nosotros vivimos en este momento, para que siempre estemos protegidos, siempre tengamos buena salud, paz, estabilidad, desenvolvimiento, y tener siempre mucha abundancia material, espiritual y mental. Bendición.
Wow, qué lindo. Muchas gracias por esa oración. Thank you very much for that opening ceremony. And this is great because, you know, these spiritualities are all important, you know?
Yes.
And what better way, ¿verdad? Than start with prayer. Wow. Well, you know, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I'm looking at my monitor here. And of course.
Hey, I'm on here. I have a question too.
Okay, okay, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, what instrument was that he was using?
The instrument that the first thing that I was doing was I used my whistle because my mom. That is to call the spirits that are around me, or my altar that are in forms of my anxiety, and also, the other instrument that I use was a maraca or an higuera, to represent, is to call the spirits and to clear the space as well for any negative spirits that might be around, and also. Basically, I don't want to say agitate, but to, like, you know, rile them up a bit, you know, to get them present.
Yeah, because they don't like the smell of that. I mean, a lot of the negative ones don't like the sound of that. No, I was asking because just similar instruments that we use as well.
Yes, we use the, in Cuba they call it mata de huira. In Puerto Rico, chimeriguera.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I know
it represents like a storm. Like rain as well, that calls spirit to the forefront.
But I know what Elder Lewis was about to say is, yeah, the Taínos definitely use the maracas as well with certain seeds and things inside of them. So he can probably get into more details with that. I'm going to put my phone back on mute now, guys.
Well, definitely the maraca is one of the ancient instruments for the Taíno, you know, Taíno tradition, indigenous traditions. I know there's a lot of northern tribes, they say that the rattle is the first drum. It was the first drum, was the rattle, you know. So,
yes.
La maraca muy, muy buena, pero gracias por eso. Y entonces, el instrumento, the instrument you play, again, it was like a whistle, you said?
No, that was just me whistling
like
from my mouth.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I know a lot of northern traditions, like the sun dance, they use whistle, you know, the eagle bone whistle. You know, so it's interesting with the whistle. So, yeah, I got a question for you about, un momentito, my monitor's a little goofy here. Why is spirituality so important for our Caribbean community?
Well, spirituality is very important for us as a Caribbean community, as a community in general, period, of people who practice any type of, who have indigenous cultures, indigenous backgrounds, or indigenous spirituality, because, you know, it's a way for us to not get so caught up in the in this society, you know, especially in the West, which is very mundane. It can be very materialistic. So it's a very it's a way for us to in-tune ourselves with our true nature, our true selves, to get become one with the Creator, become one with our ancestors, and become one with nature. It really gives a very in-depth perspective of things, the way that we can liberate ourselves through spirituality, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in the everyday struggles of day-to-day life, and, you know, we get caught up in the bills and caught up in the stress and you know, and so many things that we go through that, you know, sometimes just us going to a river, us going to a forest, going to a spot in nature. By us having that spirituality, that unseen feeling, it really grounds us. You understand me? It puts us in place, and it allows us to manifest our true nature, our true selves, not the many roles that we play as father, son, mother, cousin, coworker, all of these roles that we play. And a lot of the times these roles, yes, well, they're good, but being in tune with our true self, our true spirituality, our true nature, grounds us so that we can approach life's situations in a more grounded manner. And I think that that's what our community needs, because especially now more than ever, because we have been ingrained with so much Western influence and so much Western you know, I guess a materialistic view on things is that, you know, we do come from these backgrounds. We do come from indigenous cultures. We do come from nature-based traditions, and we need to get back to them ASAP. And for our salvation.
Wow. You know, it's interesting you say about nature, because that's the Earth Mother. It's central to Native spirituality. It's so important. So you're definitely hitting on that, right? That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was watching a movie once. It was called Dakota 38. It's a wonderful movie, Dakota 38. And there's one scene in there. One of the elders was talking, and he compares what happened to indigenous cultures to war soldiers who go through war, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. He said that indigenous communities that suffered, you know, the invasion of, you know, the European politics, European religions, you know, it started in the Caribbean. He says that it's the same thing, because we were stripped away from our mother, which is the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So at one moment,
exactly,
we live one with the earth, our mother, and then we were stripped away. And that's trauma. That's trauma that we're still trying to recover from. What do you think
exactly
about that?
I think it is very important for us, for people who practice indigenous cultures, whether they're indigenous Taíno, Garífuna. I've been around a lot of Garífuna people. When I was in Miami, me and my godson,
wow,
Carl, one of my close godchildren. Back then, when I lived in Miami, we helped bring up a lot of the Garífuna culture in Miami, and that's the thing that has gotten me in tune with all these communities, is that nature based feeling, that tradition. And the important thing, getting back to the subject in hand, which was what you said, that we were like stripped away from our mother, which is the earth. The earth is very important for us to honor. You know, it's a witness to all of our footsteps. It's a witness to all of our happenings, everything that we go through in life. And I think that if we don't get back to getting in tune with con la madre tierra, or the mother earth, or in African traditions, they call her in Totoyaya, the Congolese call her in Totoyaya, and other traditions like in South America, the Pachamama, all of these, you know, these traditions that they honor the earth, we need to get back to that. You know, we need to get back to that, because when we start honoring the earth and we start honoring nature, which is what we are nature as well. at one point all of these buildings that we are surrounded with were forests, you know? And once we start cutting through that illusion of all that Western influence and Western agendas,
right,
and all of that stuff, then we get back to who we truly are, which is one with the Mother Earth.
Mm. Can I ask you a quick question? I remember when my great-grandmother, she always had thousands of plants. I know I'm exaggerating, but everywhere there was plants, you know? And, I remember my great aunts, they used to come over and they used to check out the plants. Ay, mira, mira esta mata, está bien femita. Or they'll say, mira que linda. And they were always talking about that was the plants, you know?
Yeah.
One was sick or whatever. And then it was like a relationship. They were like relatives, the plants, you know? What do you think? Does that sound familiar?
Very familiar, actually. When I lived in Florida, when I lived in Miami, I was born in Miami, Florida. And
oh, wow.
And when I lived out there, you know, my grandmother had, we had mata de mango, mata de aguacate, you know, we had avocado trees, mango trees, papaya trees. We had medicinal plants. We had all of those plants growing in the backyard. So plants was a very big thing. It was like they were like family members, you know, because when one of us had a fever, or when one of us had stomach sickness or anything, boom, they'll run to the backyard, get the plant, you know, pay respects to the plant before they broke the plant, and then, you know, heal us with the plant. So when I was growing up and I started seeing that, I took an interest to it, and then I started studying more, like, you know, having more botanical knowledge when it comes to their medicinal properties, but also their spiritual properties as well.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. But in Piritimo, spiritualism, medicines are important. Plant medicine, right? Is that important for the rituals and stuff? That's very important, right?
Yes. It is important because, once again, when we was – okay, Espiritismo Criollo, we're going to talk about Puerto Rican and Cuban Espiritismo, right?
Perfect, yes.
What I'm about to say is going to chime in right into the question that you asked. So when Caribbean spiritism, especially in Cuba, I'm going to talk about the history of Cuba first. When spiritism came to Cuba, like I said, you know, the European-type version of spiritism came to Cuba. They brought a lot of literature. They brought a lot of books. Because spiritism, the European aspect of spiritism was very literal, was based a lot on literature. You understand me? So when the Cubans started, you know, incorporating that into their culture, usually that came from the east side of the island. Oriente, Camagüey, you know, all those, that side.
Hello?
Right?
Hello?
Yeah,
there was like a brief pause. I thought I lost you guys. Sorry.
Okay. So that started when that movement started happening in Cuba. A lot of these people who started opening these centers in Cuba were opening them in places where indigenous people resided in. As you know, in Cuban history, even the Virgin that represents Cuba, the Virgin Mary, which was established by the Spaniards there, which was they made her look indigenous, you know, representing an indigenous spirit in the island, which was called Cachita, right? They had her made in Spain, and then came to the island of Hispaniola, or, you know, Haiti, whatever you want to call it, and then coming to Cuba, you know, the boat got shipwrecked, and boom, she became the virgin of that island. But what happened was, is because it was to honor the indigenous people, or, you know, to have them convert to Catholicism. You understand? And what happened is when spiritism started coming into the forefront in the island, a lot of these temples or centros espirituales were built on indigenous lands. You know, we don't have that system like in the United States and Cuba, where, you know, in the United States they have the reservations. In Cuba, you know, you don't know if, you know, where your house was at. You don't know if that house was on indigenous land. You understand me? So when they started opening these centros espirituales, these centros espirituales were, you know, they were, they started opening them. So when they started channeling spirits to come in, what do you think the first spirits that were coming in were from? They were indigenous spirits of the island, you know.
Wow.
Maize, things like that. You understand? So those spiritual guides started coming in into position, into possession of the mediums that were running the spiritual centers. So then this is where the whole aspect of placing a, una copa de agua or a cup of water into the mesa blanca or the table came from. Because a lot of these temples were also, or a lot of these spiritual centers were being close to rivers. You understand? So a lot of those indigenous spirits with mediums to the people in the community and healing people.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, no, just, okay, go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just missed you for a second. Go ahead. Okay, continue.
So, no, yeah, so that's how, and so then coming back into the question that you were saying as well, the Cubans started formulating their own form of spiritism or espiritismo, which started involving not only healing through these spirits, but also through plants. These spirits will come through and they'll grab herbs and they'll start healing people from sicknesses like cancer, en ese tiempo, you know, malaria or whatever people were going through during that time. But these spirits, plants was also a way where these spirits will come and they will start teaching the mediums or start teaching the people that these plants were used for certain things.
Wow. You know what's interesting? A couple of times I've been to some ceremonies with periodistas and also santeros, and usually I was invited. And whenever I came to the ceremony, I was always treated like a king, like royalty. Because I identify as Indio, you know, Taino, and everybody loved it, you know. They would put me in high esteem, you know. And I remember one ceremony I went. They said, "No, tú que sentaste aquí." It was by the Indian altar, you know. And it was always, I always felt welcome, you know.
Yeah.
So is that part of the dynamic too? Like, you know, with the honoring the Indio, right? The Indian.
Well, the thing is that when we're talking, I don't know, but like the, you know, I when it comes to espiritismo, right? Especially the Caribbean style spiritism, there's something called comisiones. You understand me? Commissions are
commissions.
They're called comisiones. They're called comisiones. So comisiones are like spiritual, I guess you would say, like a spiritual type of community within the spiritual realm that represents a different type of ethnicity or culture. So one of the big ones is the Comisión India, or tú sabes, la Comisión India, where we honor the natives, the spiritual, the spirits that were native from this land or the Caribbean islands as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
So a lot of those spirits are honored. And like I said, you know, the spiritualism that I was taught, which it's very important because el cordón espiritual, which is what comes from the east part of the island of Cuba, they continued. You see a lot of that native influence within their style of espiritismo, the way that they hold each other's hands or pinky fingers. They interlock with them with one another, and they start doing movements and chantings, going in circles, still mimicking the practice and the traditions of the Taínos that resided in the island of Cuba.
That's beautiful. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That
Yamil,
is really
you have
amazing.
To teach me more. Yamil has to teach me more. Because I remember growing up, like, my grandmother always talked about, ay, Indio, que si tú tienes un Indio contigo en el que tú viviste en este mundo, or this or that, you know, so I know that, like, that concept, and, you know, I used to practice Santería as well, so just everything that you're saying right now, I need to know more about it, like, in depth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, see, like, I was explaining before, in Cuba, a lot of these centers were built in, a lot of these spiritual centers were built in the east part of the island, and then they started moving towards the west. But when you really want to find that hardcore espiritismo, like everybody in Cuba says it, you know, or even in, like, in the United States within the spiritualist communities, like, you know, the best espiritistas come from the east side of the island. Now, me personally, being with Cubans and being raised by Cubans as well, but also being around Puerto Ricans, I noticed that Puerto Ricans have a very strong espiritismo background history as well. And espiritismo is like that connects us all, that connects us of who we are as Caribbean people, you know, and we honor all of those things that are in our bloodline, whether you're, you know, native, African, or even European, you know. But it brings us together as a people, you know. But yes, we do have a commission of los indios o los nativos, which we do honor them, we do pay them respects, we do ceremonies for them to give them their homage and respect.
Yeah, that's amazing. See, that's, you know, what I'm thinking, what you're just saying right now, you know, I've been in a lot of Native American ceremonies the last 30 years, and they follow the same protocols, you know. I have to honor the ancestors of that land, you know, and so on. So, you know, it's interesting that common thread in these ceremonies and these traditions, you know. Now, the ceremony you were talking about in Cuba, where they go in circles, is that where I think I've heard of it, I've seen it. It's called El Baile del Cordón, algo así.
El Baile del Cordón. Espiritual. El Cordón Espiritual, which was in the beginning it used to be it was a practice of espiritismo, which was still following the literature. The literature base that was presented, that was brought from Europe to Cuba, of Allan Kardec,
okay.
The literature, the recollections of all the studies that he did, and then also our style, which is the Caribbean type of way of manifesting spirituality, was mixed in, and it was called Cordón Espiritual. In the Cordón Espiritual, you have the main leader of the center, or who's guiding the center, he's the one who's in the middle of the cordon. You understand me? While everybody else is holding each other, the pinkies are holding each other by the hand, and they're chanting songs, and they're making stomps on the floor, and they're also doing certain calls or gestures to pull in the spirits into the cordon espiritual. The leader then pulls somebody from the cordon into the center, and then the chain is locked again so that the circle is closed. When they do that, they start going back and forth in rhythms. They'll go clockwise or counterclockwise depending on what they're doing. And then the person is either, you know, becoming possessed, being cleansed, or they're doing una obra de caridad, which is removing evil entities from the person's body or from their spirit.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the Taino dance called El Arrito?
No, I have not.
Okay. Every year, the vejique of a medicine man, woman, would sponsor these yearly sacred dances. What you just describing right now is El Arrito. You know?
Yeah, that's
El Arrito.
What I thought,
it was a sacred
the same
dance.
Thing. Yeah.
It was a sacred dance of healing, and it was done every year. It usually lasted 4 days, you know, the whole weekend. So we call weekends.
In the Garifuna tradition, within the Garifuna people,
yes,
of Honduras and Belize and Guatemala and St. Vincent, the Garifunas as well, what they taught me when I would talk to them about entity. They think that they also themselves had a similar tradition as well to calling the ancestors.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's all rooted in the indigenous Taino Arrito. I know there was some studies done on that, you know, in Cuba specifically. And I forget the anthropologist's name, but he did study that ritual, and he, the dance moves is probably that was preserved. It's probably the Arrito dance, you know, and it was preserved in Cuba, so that's pretty major that we can find the actual steps of the Arrito in Cuba still, you know, and then the whole trance of the circle. Clockwise, counterclockwise. It's amazing, you know, that it's so preserved in Cuba.
Don't tell
me I dare to say that
it's
definitely. Nah, it's cool, man. It's all right, because, you know, it's knowledge, right? We're teaching.
They'll get jealous.
No, we're teaching. See, every island, see, I believe every island, right, saves something, you know, it's saved. It preserves something special about the indigenous culture, you know, and then we evolve, right?
Yeah,
we evolve
as people.
You know?
Even me, myself, coming from the traditions that I come from, I've been around so many teachers, you know. Right now, I became a very good friend with a Peruvian shaman, you know. And, you know, he was talking to me and how he was breaking down the, you know, the Pachamama, you know, the Mother Earth and how they honor that, you know? And even with Mexican curandos, you know, how they honor, you know, Mother Earth and how, you know, they view things. And when you really walk on the spiritual journey and you walk on the spiritual path, you start seeing that everything is just one. You know, you can just start recognizing certain things. No matter what culture they are, just start recognizing and picking things up, and you're like, oh, you know what? Boom, that applies to me. Wow, I like that.
Yeah.
That's very similar to what I do. And going back to what you were saying, it brings you back to your true self, your true nature, which is, in the end of the day, this is what we are trying to get back to. The inner creator within inside of us, the true self, the soul. That's what we're trying. We're trying to get back to that individual, you know, that true being that is us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's
because
amazing.
Once we get back to that true being, depression, anxiety, sickness, cancer, all of these things will be eliminated from us. You understand?
Right. Sure.
Because the true being, once you awaken the true spirit, the true nature of who we are. Once we overcome this body, once we overcome this influence, this external influence of everything that happens to us in our day to day lives, we overcome everything. So we become creators of our.
Interesting. You know what's amazing? I remember, you know, I'm Yoshimo Luchador. And I started my career with Legendary Action Wrestling. Now I'm in Puerto Rico. And when I was in East Harlem in New York City, I was asked by Frankie Flo, promoter of Legendary Action Wrestling, to do a ceremony in the ring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I did it, I was really nervous. It took me a couple of months to really agree to it. And I did, because a lot of people don't know, in Lucha Libre wrestling, you know, when you enter that ring, you can die. You know, so
exactly.
Part of the thing was to bless the ring. It's to bless the ring. Yeah, a lot of wrestlers have died through the years. So, you know, so I blessed it. I used the four directions. I even used sage and stuff. And you can hear a pin drop in the crowd. It was a pin drop you can hear. And then somebody yelled out, Brujo, you know, from the crowd. And people turned to the person, pissed off, like, get out of my, you know, shut up, you know. You know, people were offended by that because people saw something sacred, and then some person was making fun of it, and people got on this case, you know.
But you know why that was?
Tell me. That's why it was my question I was going to ask you. Yeah, go.
Okay, the reason, I'm going to explain something to you. When we, when we get to our true nature, to that nature of who we are, that ceremony that you did was a manifestation of your inner creator. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
That inner creator
that
you have inside of you is what makes any land sacred or makes any space sacred. Now, when you have that type of you get in tune with that energy. That energy, mm-hmm. what it does, it becomes like a light in the darkness. You understand me?
Yeah.
And
your yeah.
being is attracted to that because they're like that being. It's because you've like sparked something inside of those people that they're like,
right.
you know, that's something that I'm looking for. Every human being is looking for their true selves. This is why a lot of mm-hmm. the times you see a lot of people who are multi-billionaires and then they just drop everything and just go on a spiritual journey because every human being is trying to get back to who they are. And
exactly.
When we're born, especially in these Western countries, whether it's the United
yeah.
States of America, Latin America, or even Europe, and we
right.
come from indigenous backgrounds or indigenous cultures, we have
mm-hmm.
to reconnect back with that because it's like our creator is trying to come out. So when your true nature comes out, and somebody or some being who is not in tune with themselves tries to
mm-hmm.
interfere with it, it's like you don't
right.
have to do nothing because that creator inside of you, those people are honoring it and they themselves will defend you without you having to move a muscle.
That is beautiful. And that's what happened at that moment, you know? You know, it's like, wow, it's powerful. But, you know, quick question, you know, religion,
well, can
and
I ask
cults.
It? Can I ask it?
Yeah, go ahead, go for it.
Can I ask it? Okay, so.
You read my mind, yeah.
My main question was, with your expertise and, you know, the ways that you practice, you know, what you practice and your teachings for both of you, actually, how do you feel about religions and cults? Do you think that they're actually detrimental to the indigenous communities and being able to actually connect to nature? Or do you think that religions and cults can actually help us in some way connect to nature?
Okay, well, see, when I don't have a problem with religion, and I don't think religion is bad, because first and foremost, when we look at the definition of religion, religion comes from the root, it's like a root word within it, and it's to realign yourself. You understand me? Religion is supposed to teach you to realign yourself, to get back to your true nature. The problem with religion and cults is that a lot of human beings have a hard time trying to get back to their true nature because they really don't know how to. And this is the majority fall into the hands of another person, and the other person is working you through his or her agenda. You understand me?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Religion is not bad. Or whatever you want to call a cult, quote unquote, is not bad. It's people who make it bad. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, you have to remove the veil sometimes of pinpointing at something.
Mm-hmm.
I guess looking at it as a whole, because
wait,
for me,
wait,
for
on,
example,
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the last part you said? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Said that it's not religions that make or cults, quote unquote, that make people that are a danger to indigenous cultures or not good for us. It's the people who govern them. You understand me?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, and
exactly.
I can see where you say that. Right. Mhm.
Because
I know that me and my journey in the Taino community, looking for, you know, elders and just looking for that community base where I could learn from, I know that it's been a personal challenge for me because a lot of people or certain people, oh, you can't speak to this person, or you can't talk like that, or you can't do this, or our ancestors didn't do it this way. And it's like, but wait a minute, but who appointed you? Chief or God or cacique or anything like that, you know, like who's telling you who's teaching you? Who's telling you these things that now you're preaching to the youth that this is the way to do it? You know what I mean? And that was one of my main issues, that I just felt like a lot of people were trying to control me or suppress Kiyama and who Kiyama was as a as an individual spirit. And that's the reason why I asked the question, because when I say cult, I mean indigenous groups or even groups, period, religious groups claiming to be this, but actually just trying to control the people within the organization. You understand what I'm saying? Or feed off of their spirit and their essence, you know?
I think that the responsibility of a teacher is not is to teach you. The responsibility of the teacher is to give you the seed, but it's your responsibility to take care of the seed so that you could turn it into a tree. You
mm-hmm.
understand me? I think within any community, whether it's an indigenous community, whether it's an African-based tradition, whether it's anything, I think that a lot of the times the so-called teachers and the so-called leaders have a personal agenda. And they might not mean anything wrong by that. Mm-hmm. It's just morality and character, and also upbringing plays a big forefront. And I've noticed that in a lot of communities, a lot of trauma, a lot of psychological issues and certain things get in the way of trying to be a leader. Because so a lot of people don't want to let go of students because God knows why. You know, what's the reason? We don't know.
Right.
But, me personally, when I teach people, and even yourself, you know me. You know what I'm saying? I don't put pressure
uh-huh.
on nobody.
Uh-huh.
You know, put pressure on people. Listen, I'm here to show you. I'm here to give you the seed. You ask me for an opinion, I'll give it to you. But
uh-huh.
after that, you have to walk your journey. You have to walk your path.
Right.
You understand? And
right.
it is what it is, you know, and not everybody's journey and not everybody's path is the same. But remember, the path and the journey in the end of the day is to find your true self. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's why I
mm-hmm.
emphasize focus, because, you know, certain traditions are like, you know, look for God. Other traditions are like, look for your ancestors. Another tradition will tell you, look for the God. You look for the spirits. I tell people, no, look for yourself, and then
mm-hmm.
look for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Look for yourself first, and then look for the Creator, and then you're gonna find one thing, that the very thing that you were looking for was inside of you all along.
Yeah, you know, Yami, great, great, great words of wisdom. I have a question for you. But before that, let me put this in context, the question. I remember when I was in a seminary, I was studying to be a priest, right? And Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. And I was honored to take 1 year of Hebrew scripture courses, right? From a very good professor who was actually an Orthodox Jewish man, scholar, you know? And all the stuff that he was teaching us was way different from the Christian interpretation. You know, and
mm-hmm.
and I remember after class one day I asked him, listen, it's obvious that the Jewish people have a whole different interpretation, and this is your text, this is your tradition. How do you feel that the Christian church has a whole different meaning to it, you know? Isn't that offensive
mm-hmm.
to you? Don't you feel offended by it?
Mm-hmm.
And he just laughed, you know, he had that nice sense of humor. He says, well, at least they're using it, you know? You know what I mean? So he was kind of diplomatic. Now, I know personally, you know, I know the Christian teachings. I know the Orthodox teachings. I had to study it. And I was part of the church for many years. Spiritualism, or espiritismo, santería, all these things are considered sinful, you know? And the followers, Christian followers, are told not to follow these ways. How do you feel about that? That your religion, your spirituality is considered sinful. What do you think about that?
Hmm. Can I say something really quick before he answers that?
Oh, okay, real fast. Go ahead.
Really, really, really fast. It's funny how, mm-hmm. you know, they say that, but yeah, when you go to the Catholic churches, because, you know, I was a Catholic growing up. My grandparents practiced Santeria at night, and they went to a Catholic church during the day. So in Definitely. Catholic Church, as soon as you walk into the church, the first thing you see is a bunch of saints. So it's funny how Santeria is evil and it's this and it's that, but you're worshiping the saints within your church anyway. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a clash. So and I know when Christians say, oh, it's un brujo, it's a brujería, it's always negative. So how have you confronted that, Yamir? Or have you confronted that in your life, in your journey? Sinful?
Yeah, plenty of times I've confronted that a lot in my life. You know, the thing about me is that I walk in a way that is a little bit different from everybody else.
Okay.
Because me personally, I'm like I said, I'm a mortero, and I'm also an espiritista. I do still to
right.
this day, I still honor certain saints and certain angels. You understand me?
Right.
But this
right.
is where the buck. Just because even me myself, I've seen other indigenous people that come from indigenous backgrounds also honor
right.
things. But with me, they'll see me and I'll light a candle to San Miguel Arcángel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be
right.
like, oh, brujo, tú eres un brujo, malo, okay, no hay problema. The thing about it is this, I'm so caught up in me, in my own spiritual journey, that
right.
whatever people opinionate about me doesn't concern me, I don't mean it. I'm using this because I come to my spiritual level of understanding. That by me entering, and they're coming at me from a negative energy. If I get
right.
their negative energy, that makes me not as low or even lower than them. So for me to preserve myself, to get to my true self, I cannot entertain these people. Just like our ancestors did as well. Our ancestors, so a lot of, like Kiama made a very good point. She said, a lot of people that practice Afro-Cuban or Afro-Caribbean or Afro-Puerto Rican traditions, they practice these traditions, but then they honor the saints. That's fine, but guess what? And this isn't history. This is something that, you know, it's not debatable. A lot of people say that, oh, you know, that that these Africans were indoctrinated with this Christianity. A lot of them already came baptized before they were slaves to the Caribbean islands. You know? Hello?
I hear you. Yep, I hear you. Yep, I definitely know your history.
and a lot of them came already with a sense of Christianity. See, the thing is, I'm not here, I'm not defending the Christian faith, and I'm not defending nothing. The thing is that I honor the traditions because, like I said, I honor my ancestors. My ancestors themselves were Catholics. My ancestors themselves were espiritistas. My ancestors themselves practiced indigenous traditions. I'm not here to entertain your opinion about what you think is right and wrong. I already know my truth. I stand by my truth, and I don't allow your toxicity to get to me.
That's amazing, yes. That's wonderful. I like that. I love it. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Okay. You know, I remember I was 18 years old. Right before, no, I was 18 going on 19. I was in this college seminary, and I remember I was working at a church, right? And I remember the priest got really upset. He got really upset because someone left a saint by the church, you know, early in the morning. And I found it. I found the saint, you know, and I told the priest, hey, look, someone gifted the church with a saint, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, that's Satan worship, you know, that someone's putting a hex or whatever. He was really upset. And then he said, throw it out, throw it away, you know, throw it away. So,
oh my goodness, that's terrible, because I know they say when you're getting rid of your santos, you either have to put them, like, in the crossroad in the river, or you have to take them back to a church.
Exactly. So then, so I was stuck in the middle, like, oh, my God, you know? So what happened was I took the saint, right, and I went to this. It wasn't the garbage. It was like a shed. So I tried to hide it, you know? And and then the priest saw me. He saw me and said, I said the garbage. So I'm like, I said, damn. So then, so I went to the garbage, but I tried to play it off. Like, all right, I'll get it later, you know? I'll just get it later, you know? And I said, perdóname. Like, I said, perdóname. I said it to the statue, you know, like, perdóname. I'll be back. And then when I did that, this man, a Puerto Rican elder, came out of nowhere. I guess he was going to go to the church. And he said, muchacho, ¿qué tú haces? Like, kid, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
So he takes the statue of Santo, right? I think it was Santa Barbara, actually, which is Chango, right?
Okay.
So then he takes it from me, and he starts screaming at me, how dare you throw it away? He said, fue with the statue, you know? So I'm like, I couldn't believe, like, I felt the wrath of this priest, and I felt the wrath of this Puerto Rican elder, you know? And they both were yelling at me. I was trying to do the best thing possible, you know? But I remember that clash of religion, the clash of cultures, you know? It was pretty strong in my age, and that kind of helped me, you know, it kind of helped my formation. Like, do I really want to be a priest, you know? So it kind of really helped me. Does that make sense?
I find it funny because, like I said, when from my understandings and from what I've been able to research, when we took on Santeria, we took it on because it was actually like a form of Orisha worship, and that was the only way that we could, you know, secretly worship these, you know, these deities and these energies, because it's the only way we could do it was with the saints of the church. So it's just funny how the Catholic Church now is very, very strict on, oh, if you worship your saints, it's demon worship, but we were introduced to the saints through them. You understand? So it's kind of like a contradiction. You know, so I kind of see that clearly, you know. So that's just my perspective on it.
Yeah.
Well, historically, a lot of saints that made it to the Afro-Caribbean traditions were introduced by them. I'm a little biased with that because There's historical evidence that also backs up the fact that a lot of these Africans already came with a concept of Christianity. And if you know about African tradition, you know, and African and Africa period, you know that Ethiopia holds one of the oldest forms of Christianity there is in the world, you know, and they're very big on saint devotion, you know. And before the Congos, because the Congos were the oldest Africans that came to Cuba and to the Caribbean, before the Yorubas came after, you know, or what people, you know, that ethnic group that worships Orishas, Chango, and all that stuff, which I'm not initiated to that, you know. The Congos were the first ones.
I didn't know the Congos were the first ones. That's interesting. I'm going to research that myself.
You could research it. The Congos came, and when they came, a lot of them already came with that concept of Catholicism to the Americas. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them weren't even baptized in the islands. They were already baptized in Africa. And not even when they were slaves at all. You know what I'm saying? They had nothing to do. The slavery then came after that. You understand me? But I leave that to the audience to research themselves because, I, like I said, I'm a practitioner of the Cuban tradition.
Uh-huh.
You know, and in Cuba we have many temples, especially in Pinar del Rio. There's one dedicated to Tamacoin de Yaya, which they call him El San Antonio de los Congo. You know,
uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
And that tradition has been instilled in the Congo even way before it got to Cuba. The tradition of Saint Anthony was already happening in the Congo, and a very, very known devotee of St. Anthony. She was a healer and also a dedicated Catholic as well. But I, like I said, I'm more of a, I practice more traditions that are more nature-based and more somebody finding the reality in their own soul, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because I'm more.
No, that's interesting. I'm gonna look into that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because the practice
right,
that
yeah.
I like to.
No, I just want to say we ran out of time. See.
Oh man.
This is great stuff. You know what, Yamin, I want you
yes.
to finish your statement, and then we close the show. Okay.
Okay, no problem. So basically what I just wanted to just point out is that, you know, there's just people out here in this room who, myself, I'm not trying to push an agenda for any religion or any tradition specific. I am a spiritualist, I'm a muertero. That is not a religion. That is a spiritual path. It's a spiritual system. You know, and what we do is just show you the direction as a teacher. We show you the direction that you take, and you decide what you want to do. And that's it. But
my practice
also has indigenous tradition involved in it as well.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being on our show. And I want to invite you back, okay, because we're doing a whole series on this, on Caribbean spirituality.
Give your contact information
yeah.
also.
Oh, yeah. You could go to, if you want to know more about me, I'm going to put up my website pretty soon, but you could go to Muertero Yamil Enriquez on Facebook, Muertero Yamil Enriquez on Facebook. You could contact me. I do spiritual readings. I also do healings, and I'm a counselor as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you for taking the time, and you know, I'll send you this show, and you can share it with your community, your friends, your family.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to invite you back. We're definitely going to invite you back. We're going to have a panel towards the end of the different traditions, okay? They're going to share about their Caribbean spirituality. And, no, we're going to try our best. Would you like to conclude the show with a prayer?
Yes, no problem. So I want to give thanks to the Creator. I want to give thanks to my ancestors, to my teachers, all of my teachers. I honor them, the ones who have passed and the ones that are still walking on this earth. I want to ask for peace and blessings and lots of blessings from my spiritual guides, my higher guides of light that walk with me, the spirits of nature that walk with me, my nature spirits that walk with me. I want to give them light as well. I want to give light to your guides as well, Sanagori, your guides as well, and the guides of Kiama as well, that they continue to bless you, bless your families. And the guides of everybody who was present and took time to listen to the show, I really appreciate it, and thank you very much. And that's it. Just peace and blessings for everybody.
Wow. Peace and blessings to you. And this is
Wasabara
Indigenous Radio. I'd like to thank Kiama Inaru for her time
Absolutely.
And also her baby.
Absolutely.
What's your baby's name again?
No, we don't put that on live radio. Those names are sacred.
Oh, that's right, that's right. But it is a family show. This is
Thank you.
Yes, but thank you, peace and blessings, and Senico Cacona to everyone. Thank you, Aldo Luis.
Wasabara Indigenous Radio, Radio Indígena Wasabara, una guerra sin violencia, pero con mucha sabiduría y enseñanzas. For all you people out there, thank you for tuning in, all you live listeners, and also the future listeners, thank you for downloading your show. Please share, okay? We'll be on Facebook really soon. Thank you, and I see you all soon. Thank you, Yami. Thank you.
Thank you,
Tiama. Awesome.